welcome to Church Sound Podcast. I'm your host, Samantha.
And I'm James.
We're audio engineers, authors, and educators.
With a special focus on houses of worship.
On this episode, a really very extra special welcome. First up, we've got our sponsor messages, of course. And so first up is Electric Voice, who have been a leader in Church Sound since the beginning, and today offers the industry's largest portfolio of loudspeaker system solutions for houses of worship of all sizes. Elevate the audio experience with Electric Voice.
We also want to thank Digico. Their new Quantum series of consoles and other House of Worship solutions are available at digico.biz.
Man, going off script. I don't know.
Well, Quantum 338's been out a while. We gotta ping them again and be like, hey, can you update this?
I mean, we keep knocking on their door, but they got other stuff going on. So it's, you know, whatever.
Too busy making consoles.
I guess. So this week's episode. So we have something, you know, kind of a special. Like, we've been doing this for years. I started this podcast. This is the fifth season now. So 4 years ago, I started this podcast. That went by quickly. And then about a year and a half ago, brought on James, who you all have come to know and love. And that's been great. Our lives have expanded. James, we were talking before we were recording. You've, you know, added 33% more kids to your life. Is that correct? Yes. No, yes. No, you've added 25% more because you had four and now you're at five. So welcome to the math podcast.
I had three and four.
Okay, great.
I was right the first time.
All right, 33%, sensational. Things happen. We started working on bigger projects, adding to our families. Just generally, life has changed for the better, but it's just, you know, it's become sort of the spot where sometimes, you know, we're not both available. But we wanted to get some more perspectives and make sure that we were still delivering like educational content to you listeners and hopefully, you know, expanding our listenership. And, you know, now we're starting the Instagram page as well, which we can get into.
Oh, yeah.
But really trying to hold all of these things together in our hands, life growing the podcast. We wanted to, as I said, bring in more perspective. So that is what we're doing. So officially, we're bringing in Gary Zanstra, who many of you probably know from either Church Sound Magazine or just being around the industry. He's been a longtime author there. And I think we'll just kind of open the floor, give him a hello. Hi, Gary.
Well, hey, thanks for having me here. I'm a longtime listener. I guess I'm not a first time caller because I've actually had the privilege of being on your podcast before and appreciate what you guys do.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on. Yeah. It'll just be good. I'm excited for this. I won't speak for James, except I will and say that he's probably also.
I'm excited too.
Yeah.
Thanks, James.
Yeah.
This is James and Gary's first time really like getting to actually speak with their voices together. So this will be a great conversation, but really kind of, I guess, Gary, for all the people who have no idea who you are, what's some of your background in audio?
Yeah. Well, again, thanks for having me here and thanks for letting me join the team. I'm excited. I know I wish I had a pedigree like you and James have, but okay. I just have the pedigree of I've been doing it for a long time. How's that? So
that is pedigree.
I got my start back in audio. You know, way back when I was in high school, started doing the DJ thing and then mixing for bands and so forth, and was probably one of the first ever church technical directors in the country back in 1986. Uh-oh. Wow. And I went on staff at a large church that was doing full on Maranatha praise and worship with a 200 voice choir and a full orchestra. And started my kind of mixing chops there and then have just been in the industry, you know, since then. Left the church to go and work kind of in the contracting world. Did that for a number of years. And now I'm working as a manufacturer's representative. So calling on contractors and bringing them solutions to, you know, the systems they're designing and the problems that they're having.
Excellent. So that's a pedigree. Don't sell yourself short. Right?
Just the first tech director in the country, you know, yeah, what is that? Yeah.
No big deal. When you were doing all that, did you do any what was your extent of mixing, or secular or otherwise? Did you get to do much of that?
Yeah. You know, I guess we all have claim to fames, right? Where we're like, oh, sure. I got to do this event. I got to do that event. So I have like just a couple, but my biggest one was I was able to do front of house for a sitting president, which amazingly involves a Shure BG 3.0 backstage for the offstage announce. Ooh. And three SM57s on the podium, because you're feeding broadcast left, right, and then you have redundant. So that was my biggest high profile. Obviously the probably easiest gig I did and a very high paying gig. Other than that, yeah, you know, I've mixed for a number of Christian artists over the year. Been able to, you know, just kind of fill in. I was at a church that was a local venue, and so we'd bring in artists 5-6 times a year, kind of, you know, mid-level Christian artists, and a lot of times they were traveling without a front of house person. So I had the privilege of sitting in and doing that. So never was on a major tour or did really any touring, but, you know, I've been behind a lot of different consoles. A church that I mixed at for a number of years, you know, had a Digico SD5 at front of house and, you know, big L-Acoustics PA, you know, that type of stuff. And currently, you know, get to mix on SQ7 at a church that I love and am involved in. So been kind of involved in church my entire life. I joke that that I was paid my entire adult life to go to church, which I sort of was until now. So for the last number of years, it's been strictly volunteer. Mm-hmm. But before that, I was in a lot of paid positions at either front of house or was church technical director for a number of years, part-time while I was doing the contracting thing full-time.
Mm. That's like such an interesting topic. Everybody remember this as I'm saying it. Is like doing that switch between like volunteer and paid and maybe back again is, I think, a lot more common than people maybe think that it is. I think that transition can actually be difficult. I know when I was volunteering and then I moved to being paid, that was the more exciting of the transitions.
Yep.
But then like moving back is like, it's not a step backwards, right? But it is a bit of an adjustment.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. Actually, I find it very freeing and liberating in that when I am, you know, when I was paid, there was a level of professionalism and all of that I still bring as a volunteer, of course. But it's just different for me. I'm so happy to just kind of give back and be involved with a great team, you know, that I'm involved with and, you know, just great people. And for me, the freedom of not being paid, and it's probably just a personal thing, makes me feel like I'm giving back and I'm doing this out of just because I want to be here. You know, when I wake up on Sunday morning and have to go in for, you know, the 7 o'clock rehearsal, it's not like, oh man, I got to do it because I'm getting paid. It's like, nah, I get to do this. I get to go and hang out with great musicians, have a great time, and so forth. So for me, it's been a really natural and good transition.
Yeah. Because James, you've done both as well, right? Because what was it? It's IHOP that had, or at least used to have, the like 24-hour like insane worship thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a thing where it was like, you're a missionary on staff and raising support, but then also serving in the prayer room to do that. So, you know, those techs are doing like 6 2-hour sets a week and raising their support to do it. So it's kind of a different
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's different. Wow. And then, you know, I left full-time staff there and then did, was just mixing, you know, once a month in the rotation at a church down the road. So it was nice to be, you know, to still bring, you know, like all the gifts that I bring, all the the standards of, you know, what I was doing as, you know, more of a professional, but then also like, you know, the expectations are lower, not just because not out of like, oh, well, he's just a volunteer, but there's just a little like, because the other guys are volunteering too, there's mm-hmm. not like the microscope on you. Like if you make a mistake, people are like, well, you know, yeah. what are we paying this guy for? You know,
yeah.
there's a little less pressure, I guess, is the idea.
Sure.
But again, yeah, it's that same thing where it's like, I'm doing this because I love to do this. And I would do this even if the pay wasn't a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, if all, you know, my needs are met and I can, you know, serve in my church, just like most of the other techs that are probably listening to this, you know, being a volunteer is a joy to serve. So it's fun, yes, being on both sides of that.
Yeah. Okay, Gary. So you said that you are a manufacturer's representative. So can you say more about what the heck does that mean for anybody not in the industry?
And you can say who, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're welcome. You don't have to hide it or anything. Like, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I work for some fantastic manufacturers. So what we do as manufacturer's rep is that we go to dealers, or, you know, they're commonly called integrators or contractors, and we represent that manufacturer to that dealer. So the manufacturers would have a hard time, a lot in our industry, having a sales force to cover the entire country. So in essence, yeah, we become their sales force.
Mm-hmm.
And so we work with the integrators or, you know, dealers to help them specify our products into projects, help them with design, help them with technical questions,
mm-hmm,
you know, all that kind of stuff. I had somebody explain it to me this way, and it's a interesting explanation. I'm not sure I fully agree with it, but it does sort of fit in that they said a rep is kind of like the liver of the industry, in that there's all this junk from the manufacturer or whatever that goes on, and we take all the poison out and then bring it to the dealer. And I say that tongue in cheek because,
oh my word,
yeah, I say that because I said tongue in cheek, but there is some truth in that. We definitely help the manufacturers deal with the, you know, dealers and contractors. We're just kind of like that middle person. And I love it. I've been doing it for 2 years. And for me, it was a fantastic transition. I mean, I have always loved working with end users and primarily work with churches. And I love doing the design and doing the, hey, you know, what's your guys' vision? Doing all that kind of stuff. And now I just really enjoy the fact that I can go to, you know, the dealer base and they're out there, you know, dealing with all the end users and that type of stuff. And I can just kind of help bring solutions to them. So it's just a different part, so to speak, in how, you know, products and all that are brought to market. And it's been super fun.
Good.
Yeah, that's great. I don't know how often, Samantha, you see this, but I often will come into a church and I'm like, all right, y'all, like this speaker system does not fit this room. You know, like somebody, there was a mismatch at some place where somebody, you know, somebody along the line decided that they wanted to showcase this product, but mm-hmm, it's not exactly what is serving this congregation well. And then they're having all kinds of problems or, you know, other things that are happening there. So, you know, it is an essential service to make sure that the manufacturers are representing well to the integrators, to be like, you know what, this is really going to be your best fit, regardless of what you have in inventory. You know, we've got to make sure that we're doing a good job at serving the clients well at the end. Because again, you know, that makes the manufacturer look good when the right product is put into place, not just our product.
Yeah. And it's especially true. Like, I mean, we use reps and we prefer it that way because you guys like are the boots on the ground for us. Like you mm-hmm, you have the information, you get to be there in person, where not every manufacturer can be everywhere all at once. And so with you guys, we're able to still get what we need done. Plus the customers, the churches or whomever, are being serviced as well as we could possibly serve them. And I prefer that. So.
Yeah, no, James, I appreciate you and your statement of saying, you know, making sure that the church gets the right product. Because the worst thing I could do for any of our manufacturers is, you know, bring in the wrong product. Because like you said, it's like, well, hey, that's what we're overstocked on. So let's sell a bunch of this. Or this is the only thing we have in stock. And so this is, you know, what you're going to get, period. We want to make sure that, you know, we are overall representing the manufacturer well, so that we, you know, the manufacturer has a good reputation and all of that, because that matters obviously a ton, you know, to what we do.
Yeah. Thank you for your service.
Well, thank you for, and I obviously knowing who you work for, thank you, know you guys are a great manufacturer. It would be nice if I was representing your line, you know, Samantha.
I can't speak to that.
I know you can't and you never luckily, know in our industry we all end up being around and working together somewhere somehow.
Yeah,
so maybe someday you may be somewhere else or something may happen, and
anything can
who
happen.
Knows.
And luckily, that's not right. My decision, nor my problem, nor my burden.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But I will put in a good word for you. So.
Well, thank you.
So, Gary, do you have, are you a musician or anything? Do you have that kind of background? James and I kind of joked that we're both bass players, and we had one bass episode where we just really went for it. But yeah.
Wow. Well, I tell you, my standing joke is, on a good day, I call myself a drummer. I would say percussionist, but that implies talent. So that's the background I have. I have not played drums since high school, a drum kit since like high school. And I was in a marching band, and I played in orchestra and band and stuff back in high school. But I was in a marching band, and I was the fourth bass drum in a bass drum line of five. So I can count extremely well, because I was never – anywhere near a downbeat. I was always like 1E or 1E and you know.
Yeah.
In the, you know, I was like, I never played on a downbeat. I don't think the entire time I was in marching band. So I can count really well, but no, I do not currently play or play often, other than at front of house. I mean, I love music. I've, you know, learned how to mix. I'm not the guy that's going to be a producer or a music director or leader that's going to tell you, hey, your vocalists are, you know, not on pitch, you know, that type of stuff. I can sense that and hear that, but I have no training in that. But I love music. I listen to music, and I feel like I can put together a good mix just because I have that reference point of all the music that I've enjoyed and loved over the years.
Yeah. Knowing how it should feel is like the backbone of what it, you know, knowing how to put together a good mix. You can teach that, but you can't just like give it to somebody, you know, like you have to like listen to a lot of music and point stuff out and give people a guided tour. But eventually, you know, people are going to have to listen to music to really know what it should feel like to get it right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I look at it this way. I would not expect a vocalist to completely understand compression or even effects or anything else like that. I would expect them to know how to sing on pitch and, you know, and so forth. And then that's my responsibility, to know what compression and effects and other things on EQ on a voice and how it fits into the mix. You know, that's, I think the key thing of any mix is knowing how to use EQ and where things fit in the mix for and sure. making things fit in the mix and how that mix comes together. So for whatever reason, I've learned to do that, even though I'm, you know, don't have a large musical background.
I think the fact that you played, that you were in the music program at all, puts you quite a bit ahead of a lot of people. So we're counting that. And plus, we're that much closer to having a full band now.
Yeah. Now we're the three basses. We got the bass drum. We got lead bass. We got rhythm bass.
Rhythm bass. I like that. Oh, I like that.
Oh, no. That's awesome, Gary. Okay, so, all right. You've done some music stuff. You've been mixing a lot. You're a manufacturer's rep. So what do you do outside of, like, what do you like to do outside of the biz?
Boy, I tell you, I am terrible at golf, but I enjoy golf. In fact, I was on the golf course today, and it is, you know, March in Michigan. I'm up visiting Michigan, and we were able to go on the golf course. I played terrible, but boy, was it a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, golf is there. We have three grandbabies now, and being around them and just experiencing the joys of 2-year-olds is fantastic. So, you know, that's the type of stuff that I love doing besides listening to music. And, I really have this thing for, I really like to find different artists and, different music that I like, whether I think everybody has a genre or something they really like, or mm-hmm. a couple of genres, but I like to push myself sometimes out of my genre, find new stuff. My wife even has me listening to country music, and it's palatable. How's that? I'm working on it. I'm working on it. And she actually has a big background in doing some bluegrass stuff. And I have really, we've gone to some bluegrass shows, and I'm like, all right, I can do this. There is some real talent there, and mm-hmm. Good music is good music. Let's just say that.
It's fun when you can appreciate what they're doing. Bluegrass, I think, is one of those just like, oh my, like a lot is going on, and it's really enjoyable. Golf thing. Yeah. I've played a round of golf once. It was last year. I got sunburned and did not do very well, but it was fun.
You
would
were
do
outdoors.
It again. I would do it again. Yeah. I had some very interesting muscles were sore for the first time.
Oh,
the next day. I was like, what is this? Is this my back wrist? Like, it was a very, it's really weird.
Yes. I guarantee you, I will wake up tomorrow morning with a very stiff back, and I will be like, okay, I don't care. That's the price I pay, but it was fun.
Yeah. Driving the cart's fun. And speaking of small children, so James, so for sure, James, you got to give everybody an update, because last episode I was just like, and James is alive, but he's gone. He's a new father. So he's doing that. So what happened? What's going on?
Yeah. We had baby number 4. She's healthy and awesome. Doesn't sleep through the night yet, but that's to be expected. So I've recognized that my words are a little slower than normal. So apologies in advance for that. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. So next several episodes, just expect me to not be quite as sharp as normal. I actually filmed a video on like this headphone amp thing that can run off like a guitar pedal board power supply as well. And instead of saying 100 milliamp power supply, I said 100 amp power supply.
Wow.
And some very astute YouTube commenter caught that. And I just, you know, replied, LOL. You know, like, what else can you do? So that would be quite the headphone amp.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So, yes, we're happy, sleep deprived, yes. A little less productive, yes. But it's a wonderful price to pay. Yeah. And we're all good over here.
And it's about to be it's really warm now, so it's gardening-y season. So you guys are about to.
Yeah, I'm planting peas today, actually. So we're gonna go dig around in the garden and put the sugar snap peas in the ground.
Nice. Yep. How was the? They also like. Oh, Gary, they do like so much cool stuff. They also like bake bread, and they go to like farmers markets. Like, they're very
I love it.
Cottagecore.
Cottagecore. Yeah, like Amish but with technology. No, not quite. No, I like things that use power, and we have air conditioning and all that stuff. I wouldn't mind a bigger garden still, but I don't really want to do livestock, you know, like you can't really travel. You know, like, what are you going to do? Get like a chicken sitter when you go on a vacation?
I have no idea. I stumbled on TikTok yesterday. They were like, oh, I just bought a half cow. Let's see how much beef it gave us. And I was like, how did I get here? And, but I did watch the whole thing with the cost breakdown. And I was like, interesting.
Yes. Yes.
I think it like came out to like $6 a pound or something, like average. Anyway, that's cool. Glad you guys are doing okay. How are the classes doing? Gary, James has courses. He's got a great YouTube channel. You may already know this, but he just recently released a new course. So James, how's it going?
Yeah, Audio for Worship Leaders is taking off. People are giving me good feedback on that one. And the most fun thing that I do over there in our Attaway Audio Academy is the live Q&A every week. I was just actually doing that this morning. And then, you know, like if you've got a question where you're like, this doesn't really fit into like a category of a lesson that's already recorded, how do I handle this? Like one guy this morning, he's like, I'm in a circular room. How do I place crowd mics to not sound like they're terrible? And I'm like, well, experimentation is your friend, but here's some ideas, you know, so stuff like that. We get to, you know, bounce ideas back and forth. I get to bring my unrefined ideas and things I'm thinking about and teach on those in there. So it's fantastic. I love it. We just had a bunch of new members. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, good. Congratulations. Yeah, congratulations thank you. All around.
Yeah, fantastic.
Okay, well, I know that we've got some more topics we want to dive into that might be like a little tough to cram into this first welcoming episode. But Gary, what else should the listeners know about you? I mean, we'll come to really know you.
Oh, I got a question though. So you mentioned you mixed on an SD5, you mixed on an SQ7. If budget were no option, what's your favorite console to mix on?
You know, not just between those two.
No.
Well, I tell you, this has been really fun for me. So we happen to represent Midas, and so I've been, you know, out demoing the HD96 a lot lately, and so I've had my hands on it, and part of it is just because it's a newer interface, you know, and you know how consoles are as they progress. Everybody in the console world, you know, they progress, but I really have enjoyed how I can customize the HD96. And so I've mixed live on it once. Other than that, it's all been tracks doing demos and that type of stuff. But I would say that's my current favorite, partially because I've had the most time on it, but also the newer interface, the things that Midas has fixed from their Pro series that used to be horrible, like patching. Like I actually know how to patch the HD96. I don't. Every time I get in front of a Pro Series, I call one of my buddies who mixed on, you know, the Pro Series starts up. I'm like, okay, dude, walk me through this one more time because it's been 6 months and I have no idea. You know, type of thing. So,
If I can comment on that too, I think the patching on the HD series is like light years ahead of anybody else as far as like ease of use and the whole drag. And I agree with you. They've figured out the patching thing that makes it easy for brains to do.
Yes. Yeah. It feels very, you know, very natural, but I tell you, I love mixing on anything. You know, I had one Sunday where I was helping out a small local church on a, X32 compact. And then I ended up the afternoon or that night doing a concert, you know, on the SD5. And I was like evaluating, like, I'm like, wow, I mean, there's like radical, you know, difference, obviously, between those two desks, you know, like times 100 almost.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? The morning service, I had great musicians, you know, all that. The music was good. And it was fun. And the SD5, it's fun. Of course it's fun. I would mix on either one of those. So, you know, I felt like I was at both extremes that day. And I was like, you know, the desk is just a tool. And, you know, I suppose I could have fun, you know, driving a Ford, you know, Festiva or whatever, or a Lamborghini, because I like to drive. They're just different things, different tools.
Yeah.
And but they're doing the same thing. They're letting you drive.
Have you gotten your hands on that new little thing? Is that like out? I was like, is that a thing that people can touch yet? Or
the HD Air? Are you talking?
Sure. Yes. It was like the 96, except tiny.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the HD Air. It was supposed to be at NAMM, but it didn't arrive in time. Mm-hmm. So I have not touched it, but I'm excited. I have a lot of my client base that's really excited because it's will basically be a kind of a travel board. So I think there's a move in the industry that front of house guys will end up owning their own desks.
Oh, totally.
And,
totally.
And be able to rent that. I mean, you at Allen and Heath, you could talk about that because you guys kind of started this trend almost. Getting affordable,
affordable bigger, console, I mean, big shows that you can like fly with and still have the high channel count and stuff. Yeah, like that's, it started and now we are seeing a lot of it take off. So all the better for front house engineers. I like that they're getting more affordable and it's becoming just like you invest in all your multi-tool and your gloves and your doodads and your knickknacks and stuff that we all carry around, that the console's kind of becoming a part of that. And you can rent it out for, to basically help pay for the console itself. So it ends up like adding some value to your work plus paying down. It's like when you get a second house and you like rent it out, it's like that. So help pay your mortgages.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is when it's your own desk, even though it's the same desk and you show up and you've, rented it, there's something about it that when it's your own desk and you've sat at your living room table and made your show out and everything else like that, you're not just taking the show file. And if you're like me, you've backed the show file up to the cloud, you have it on your jump drive and you have a backup on your computer because you're afraid that you're going to have an issue. I mean, there's just a peace of mind or something about this is my desk. It's had my fingers on it. I don't have to, I know if there's a bad fader or if there's a pot that's a little, gimpy or anything about it. It's just something about that. It's your own. It's just like owning a car versus renting a car. You might have the exact same model, same everything, but you've got it just feeling like it's yours.
Yeah, agreed. Well, very cool. Hopefully that, looking forward to seeing it around town, as it were.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything else, Gary, that you think we should know or anything that you'd like to share? I mean, again, we could just keep talking for hours nonsensically, but,
Yeah. No, I would say, thank you again for inviting me to be part of the team here. Like I said, I've enjoyed, listening to the show, enjoyed being on the show. Now looking forward to be, at least a semi-regular on the show. And, if anything people will learn about me is I do have opinions. I will share opinions. But bottom line, I want to share knowledge. Anything I can do to help people, if people want to reach out and contact me, I'm glad to share what I've been able to gather over the years that I've been doing this. And nothing excites me more than, being able to invest in people and help them improve in their craft.
It's hard to beat that.
Well said.
Well said. Hear, hear. Okay, if you find this podcast helpful and you want to help us reach more church sound techs, could you just take a moment, rate, and leave a review wherever you may be listening? Just a couple of minutes goes a long way to help us reach more church sound techs. Church Sound Podcast is part of the ProSound Web Podcast Network. I'm Samantha Potter.
I'm James Attaway.
And I'm Gary Zanstra.
Thanks for tuning in and have an amazing service this week.